Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, November 14th, 2025. We'll begin today's reading on the front page. Community, walking, walk for homeless. Awareness events, often glimpse of challenges, provide support. For those who don't know where their next meal is coming from, the holidays can be an extra challenge. It is real, Macon County Continuum of Care Community Resources Supervisor Amy Aubert said about the current conditions among families in need. According to Aubert, the local agencies have seen an uptick in families needing assistance, including unsheltered mothers with children. You hear about it on the national news, but it is happening right here in Macon County, she said. In January, the Continuum of Care participants counted nearly 160 homeless individuals during their point-in-time 24-hour count. And there's a lot more out there now, Aubert said. National Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Week starts November 17th. Various community activities hosted by Continuum of Care, including Walk the Walk, Skip Your Lunch, and Box City, are scheduled throughout the week. Volunteers are important for few of the activities, including Walk the Walk, which will be from noon to 1:30 p.m. Wednesday, November 19th, throughout downtown Decatur. Participants will walk a three-mile trek to the various organizations that an average homeless person would visit. It's the path the homeless would take from agency to agency, Aubert said. Each stop will have an item they can add to a backpack. The backpacks will then be delivered to homeless residents. Volunteers can participate or learn more about Walk the Walk event through the Dove, Inc. website. For those unable to walk, a trolley is available. The participants will have approximately 100 drawstring bags to collect the items. At the end, it's like a homeless care package, Aubert said. The Dove Homeward Bound Outreach Team will pass them out to individuals that we find. Items include important items such as hand warmers, blankets, gloves, and socks. For their participation, Richland Community College has been collecting new socks to add to the backpacks. Socks and undies are one of the least donated things to clothing rooms and food pantries, Sarah Kennedy, student resource navigator, said. Warm feet are not always a given. Kennedy was challenged to beat the previous sock drive goal of 1,500, and I take challenges very seriously, especially when it's all about giving back to the community, she said. Therefore, the goal is to collect 1,501 pairs of socks before the Walk the Walk event. RCC's, Richland Community College's, Student Success Center understands the need. The center offers several resources such as a food pantry, financial aid, and mental health counseling for students who are in need. Hunger and homelessness and the fact that people don't have their basic needs met. That does happen to college students, said Allison Shapara Uten, Director of Student Success. Most of them work and have families. Bins are available to the students in the Student Success Center, and the Academic Success Center for sock donations is open until 5 p.m. Tuesday, November 18th. The Skip Your Lunch event is also a community outreach event held on Tuesday, November 18th, according to Aubert. Participants can simply donate the money they would normally spend on a restaurant meal. They can donate to an agency, Salvation Army, the Carriage House, any agency you would like, Aubert said. Box City, where students and community members gathered to simulate what it would be like to be homeless for the night, has been an annual event in Decatur for several years. However, in the past, the volunteers would live out of boxes all night. This year, the group will hold a Box City from 5 to 8 p.m. Friday, November 21st, at the St. Paul's Lutheran Church. With time constraints, we're starting out small, Obert said. The event's volunteers will serve soup and beverages. Speakers associated with homeless agencies and those with real-life experiences will discuss the importance of helping those in need. A car and a large box will be set up as if someone were living in it, Obert said. And naturally it's outside, she said, but there will be a warming center. And the photo on the front page shows Carrie Cunningham and Courtney Morris packing bags that Macon County Continuum of Care will distribute during National Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Week in Decatur on Wednesday, November 12th. Well, today is Friday, or they're doing it on Wednesday, November 12th. National Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Week. To learn more about local events during National Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Week, visit the events page on Dove Inc.'s website. That's DoveInc. Environment. Low Lake triggers water rationing. Decatur Reservoir drops over 3 feet below normal level. The continued drought conditions have prompted the city of Decatur to issue a Stage 1 water rationing mandate. Lake Decatur is over 3 feet below the normal level and continues to slowly decline due to evaporation and lack of consistent rain, according to a city news release issued Thursday. While weather outlooks for the winter and spring are promising, the city is being proactive and in accordance with our drought action plan is implementing Stage 1 rationing, which requires that residents and businesses further conserve water. The lake is the main water source for both Decatur and Mount Zion businesses and residents. The city began urging its water customers to voluntarily cut back on water usage at the beginning of October. Stage 1 rationing includes use of water to maintain lawns, golf courses, athletic fields, and all other vegetation is allowed only on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday of each week. This does not apply to commercial gardening, landscaping, and plant nursery facilities. The pumping of water from Lake Decatur for irrigation purposes is prohibited. The initial filling of hot tubs, swimming pools, and ponds is prohibited. Washing of any vehicle is prohibited except at commercial car wash facilities, car detailing facilities, and at car sales facilities. The preserving of water at restaurants is prohibited unless requested. Detectable water leaks must be repaired within 72 hours of discovery. If the leak is not repaired in this time frame, then the leaking service may be shut off by the city. The news release stated that Stage 1 rationing is the precursor to the actual beginning of water rationing, which will be necessary if drought conditions continue for an extended period of time. The city is currently tapping into alternative water sources to further supplement our water supply and reviewing other options. We are also communicating with the 24 largest water users for their assistance with conservation. According to Rebecca Koppel, meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Lincoln, central Illinois experienced similar drought last year. It has been a pretty dry fall so far, she said. However, Koppel said, this year hasn't been the driest in recorded history. We're not within the top 10 driest as of now, she said. The most recent drought monitor was issued Thursday. Not much has changed from last week, Koppel said. The information showed Macon County and much of central Illinois are in a severe drought. No improvement has been seen in the past month, Koppel said. Most of Illinois, except for far southern and Chicago area, is under a pretty severe drought. The next opportunity for rain is expected early next week, according to the meteorologist. It does not look like it's going to be a drought-busting rain, Koppel said. In What's Happening on page A2, Reynolds to visit Decatur Public Library. Children's book author Aaron Reynolds will visit Decatur Public Library on Saturday, November 15th. Reynolds will hold two sessions at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. The first 50 families in line at each session will receive a free book, either The Creepy Crayon or the Creepy Crayon, The Creepy Carrot, or The Creepy Pair of Underwear. One book per family. Reynolds will also sign books at 10:30 a.m. and at noon. Free parking is available in the city parking garage next to the library. Reynolds is a New York Times best-selling author of more than 50 children's books. The son of an Air Force officer, he lived in several states and in Okinawa, Japan, while growing up before settling in Chicago as an adult. He's married with a son and daughter and three cats. Again, that's tomorrow at the Decatur Public Library, two sessions, 9:30 a.m. and 11:15 a.m., and the first 50 families in line will each session will receive a free book. In more local news on page A3, District OK's tentative tax levy. The Decatur School Board has approved a tentative tax levy of 6.77%. A final levy will be set and approved at the December 16 board meeting following a truth in taxation hearing to be held at 6:30 p.m. in the boardroom at the Keel Administration Building. The final levy will be likely lower than the tentative figure. Chief Operational Officer Mike Curry had given the board four options Tuesday for a tentative levy and recommended they choose one of the first two higher options for tentative approval. They have a month to watch the equalized assessed valuation reports and determine if a lower number would be more appropriate to fund the district. You only get what you ask for and what you're allowed, Curry said. By starting with the higher number, the board has the wiggle room to lower it at the December meeting and is likely to do so. The equalized assessed valuation is sent to Macon County taxing bodies every Friday, starting in September, and has fluctuated, as it usually does throughout recent months. A final EAV will not be available until February, after the levy has been approved using the information available to the district at that December meeting. If the EAV goes up between December and February, the district will still only get what they ask for at the December meeting. We are in the lowest tier of adequately locally funded districts in the state, Curry said, referring to the property values in the district. We are propped up and supported by evidence-based funding from the state. We get about $62 million from the state. Evidence-based funding aims to equalize the dollars available to districts with high property values and lower property values like Decatur, based on the amount the state has determined to be adequate funding for education. The EAV fluctuates, and as of Tuesday's meeting, was $970 million. A 6.77% levy would work out to a tax rate of $4.70 for a $150,000 home. That would be $2,068 in property taxes levied for the school district, which is the largest portion of property tax in Macon County at 49.5% of the total. For that example of a $150,000 home, that would mean an additional $140 in taxes over the last year. Things are probably trending down, Curry said. We have numbers when we post the notice of the hearing, and that's why the board chose option A, but they started they stated that they are not going to support the full levy. The reality of it is, with the increased assessed valuation of the community, we have control over what we levy on the Decatur community, said Board President Bill Clevenger. The city, the park district, the school district, we can't continue to assess our way into prosperity. We ask his fellow board members to consider the cost of living and the existing tax burden on the community, and they as they consider the final levy. Headlights blind EMTs. Ambulance crew members released from hospital after vehicle crash. This is from Sullivan. Bright headlights prevented a Sullivan Fire Protection District ambulance crew from seeing a stationary vehicle across the roadway until it was too late, an official said. According to a fire department news release, the fiery collision took place at 2:10 a.m. Tuesday along Illinois 121 and approximately 300 feet of Moultrie County Road 1600 East. The release said the ambulance was returning to headquarters after completing a transport to a local hospital when the collision occurred. Sullivan Fire Chief Chris Wright said the ambulance was traveling northbound when the crew saw a vehicle on the edge of the southbound lane with its high beams on. As they got closer, they noted that the vehicle was stationary. The driver of the ambulance reported seeing at least one person standing in the southbound lane. Then he saw another vehicle that was parked sideways in the northbound lane, Wright said. He said the high beams on the southbound vehicle prevented the driver of the ambulance from seeing the vehicle parked sideways on the northbound lane, leading to the ambulance striking the vehicle on its passenger side. The crew of the ambulance exited their vehicle and searched the vehicle they struck to find that there was no one inside of it, Wright said. Wright said the driver of the vehicle that was on the edge of the southbound lane vehicle left the scene when the ambulance crew placed a 911 call for assistance. The firefighter and emergency medical technician were taken to Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center in Mattoon for non-life-threatening injuries and have been released. The ambulance sustained heavy fire damage and is considered a total loss. The release said the Moultrie County Sheriff's Office completed the investigation and report. Wright said no tickets were issued to Sullivan Fire Protection District personnel, but did indicate a person at the scene was taken into custody. The Sullivan Fire District was assisted by Coles Moultrie 911 and the Bethany Fire Protection District. And the photo here that accompanies this shows these two vehicles and completely ruined by fire. A Sullivan Fire Protection District ambulance and another vehicle were scorched in a fire on Tuesday, November 11th, after a collision on Illinois 121 and around Moultrie County Road 1600 East. They're completely ruined, both of them, gutted with fire. Man pleads. Oh, and a larger picture here, it's a color picture, shows Sullivan Fire Protection District crews extinguishing a fire on Tuesday, November 11th, after an ambulance crew collided with another vehicle on Illinois 121 and approximately 300 feet east of Moultrie County Road, 1600 East. And the color picture here shows the firefighters with hoses trying to extinguish the fires in both vehicles, but there's a lot of fire and a lot of smoke coming out from both vehicles. Man pleads to shotgun charge. Robert A. Loomer, the Decatur gunman who fired a shotgun after a confrontation with several children, has been sentenced to 18 months probation. The 67-year-old defendant took a deal negotiated by defense attorney Courtney Anderson and pleaded guilty to the reckless discharge of a firearm. A further charge alleged the aggravated unlawful possession of a weapon was dismissed as part of the deal by Macon County Circuit Court Judge Rodney Forbes. the court date to the late afternoon of August, date to the late afternoon of August 24th, while Loomer was shopping in the convenience store in the 3700 block of North Woodford Street. A sworn affidavit filed by the Decatur Police Department said Loomer had gotten into a dispute with a group of juveniles, and the argument continued after they had all left the store. Officer Eric Havens, who signed the affidavit, said witnesses had described Loomer unzipping his pants and exposing himself to the children at one stage, although he was never charged with that offense. Havens said more witnesses had seen him later arm himself with a shotgun as he walked around the parking lots of apartments in the 1400 block of East Wellington Way. Robert was heard yelling he would find the kids he was mad at, said Havens. Robert was seen waving the shotgun around while yelling. A 40-year-old woman told police she was watching from her second-floor balcony and saw Loomer fire the gun once. She stated Robert did not aim the shotgun at her and did not hit her with the pellets, but she heard the pellets bouncing off the side of the building, Havens said. At earlier court hearings in the case, Loomer had said, "I dropped the gun and it went off," and had denied he had tried to target anyone. He had appeared for sentencing November 6th and was given a 120-day jail sentence, but that was canceled out with time already served and other credits, and Loomer, held in custody since his arrest on the day of the offense, was released on the afternoon of the sentencing hearing. Public safety, fire damages building. Prompt action by the city firefighters quickly knocked down a blaze early Tuesday afternoon in a city building at 1702 East Clay Street. A news release from Deputy Decatur Fire Chief Brian Lockwood said crews had been dispatched to the fire at 12:19 p.m. and arrived to find smoke and flames showing from the structure. First arriving crews immediately began firefighting operations, Lockwood said. Crews advanced a hose line into the building to reach the seat of the fire and began extinguishment efforts. Thanks to the quick response and coordinated efforts of all personnel, the fire was contained before it could spread throughout the structure. No one had to be rescued from the building, and Lockwood said the cause of the blaze is under investigation. Quiet Riot to play at Lincoln Square Theater. The 1980s heavy metal band Quiet Riot will be closing out the 2025 season for downtown Decatur's Lincoln Square Theater with a show on December 29th. "Going out with a bang, your head," said Lavelle Hunt, theater president. Tickets ranging from $30.19 to $42.26 are available online at the Lincoln Square Theater website or by calling 217-454-4583. Again, the number is 217-454-4583. VIP pit seats are $115.59. Champagne band Big Guns will open the show, according to Hunt. The band is the perfect opening act. The bass player, Steve Hall, is brother to Bruce Hall of REO Speedwagon, he said. Quiet Riot made a name for themselves with hits such as Bang Your Head, Come On, Feel the Noise, and Mama, We Are All Crazy Now. Original Quiet Riot bassist Rudy Sarzo returned to the band 3 years ago. Sarzo left in 1985 after the success of their number one album, Mental Health. He also performed with Ozzy Osbourne, The Guess Who, and White Snake. Again, the date is December 29th at the Lincoln Square Theater. It's Quiet Riot, and tickets are $30.19 to $42.26, except for the VIP pit seats at $115.59, and you can visit the Lincoln Square Theater website or call to 1-7-4-5-4-4-5-8-3. The politics, the shutdown defectors is national news, but I will read what Dick Durbin said about his reason for siding with the Republicans. Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois is retiring after a long Senate career. Durbin holds the number two position in Democratic leadership and broke ranks with Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer of New York after saying that the shutdown caused too much pain for the American people. In a statement before the vote, Durbin, who argued that Republicans are still to blame for the shutdown, said, "This bill is not perfect, but it takes important steps to reduce their shutdown's hurt. Not only would it fully fund SNAP for the year ahead, but it would reverse the mass firings the Trump administration ordered throughout the shutdown." The Democratic senators, eight in total, faced almost instant blowback from members of their own party as they voted to allow the Senate to move forward on compromise legislation that would reopen the government. Their decision was labeled a betrayal and pathetic by some of the most prominent voices in the Democratic Party. "To my mind, this is a very, very bad vote," said Senator Bernie Sanders, a Vermont independent who caucuses with Democrats. The group of defectors consisted of senators who are retiring next year, as well as a number of former governors. Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson of Louisiana praised them, saying they decided to put principle over their personal politics. The group of moderate Democrats surely knew the criticism that was coming when they broke with the rest of their party on the 40th day of the government shutdown. But after huddling for hours, often in the Senate basement, over the past week, each senator reached the same conclusion. It was time for the government shutdown to end. This is national news, but the shipwreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald is that its 50th anniversary, and there's a large picture of the Edmund Fitzgerald from 1959. It's a huge boat. The legend lives on, wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald still resonating 50 years later. Spend enough time along the shores of Lake Superior, and it won't be long before there's some reminder of what happened when the gales of November came early. This year marks the 50th anniversary of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, the largest and most famous of the estimated 6,500 ships that have gone down in the Great Lakes. But the Fitzgerald is remembered while the others are forgotten, thanks in large part to Gordon Lightfoot's haunting 1976 folk ballad that became a surprise hit. The Fitzgerald, a 730-feet-long freighter named after a Milwaukee insurance company executive, went down in Lake Superior on November 10, 1975. All 29 men aboard died. And there's another picture of two U.S. Coast Guardsmen move a life raft from the freighter Edmund Fitzgerald across the dock in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, on November 11, 1975, after the raft was plucked from Whitefish Bay in Lake Superior. That's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, November 14, 2025. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.